God is good. And all the time. Good morning. My name is Eric Dirks, and I welcome you to First United Methodist Church. Thank you so very much for being here today. And I want to just throw out a special thank you for all of you who wore your party hats today. I like it. Yes. We must never forget that Sunday morning is a little Easter. In other words, we're supposed to be partying, that Jesus died and was raised for us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much for remembering that. If you turn in your bulletins real quick here, just have a few things. Don't forget your Easter lily orders. Put those in your offering basket if you would like to do that in honor or in memory of someone. Also, we have our study guide that Cliff writes for us with regards to the sermon. And it is a way for something for you to take home, put beside your prayer chair along with your bulletin and the joys and concerns therein. And it's a great way for you to, you know, start your day with a little devotion that Cliff has written. And I really appreciate him doing that. Also, don't forget your third page is a connection card, and you may have to fold it back and forth a couple times, but it will tear out. Please make sure you put your name, address, and telephone number in that. Look at the opposite side of that as well. And if you are interested in anything, make sure you mark it down so we can contact you. Put this in the offering basket later on in the service as it passes by you. Now, if you're visiting with us today, please make sure you fill this out. Again, put your name, address, telephone number, and such in this. And this would be your offering to us today as you worship with us. Just put it in the offering basket so that we can greet you properly and say thank you so very much for worshiping with us on what looks to be a gorgeous day. Amen. The announcements that are in your bulletin, just a couple things. Silent beef auction. Our ushers are going to pass around a clipboard, and it'll just kind of pass through the congregation as we do this today, and just want you to know about it. Any money that is raised for this beef will go toward the bus. And remember, we have a great gift that has been given to the church by an individual within the church, that every dollar that is raised with regards to the bus, they will match a dollar, that dollar. So if, whatever that beef brings in, or if you can give $10, then that means that will be $20. Now, does that mean that, hey, I can give 20, but I'm going to give 10 because that means it'll be 20? It doesn't really work that way. Give what you can and what God calls you to do, and that way we can get this bus for our youth so we don't have to take 11 vehicles on mission trips anymore. We don't have to take two or three vans on gadabout, as gadabouts go gallivanting around, right, to have their fun and such, and many other things that this church does in need of transportation. So, also, don't forget Project Graduation. It starts at 11 a.m. today, and it goes until 2. It's at the Warsaw Community Building, and, of course, our very own Warren Hunt is sponsoring that barbecue fundraiser, so you can imagine that will be very good BBQ, right? Please pay attention to all of these announcements that are placed in your bulletin. All of them are very important, and it is just important that you know that and that you put these on your calendar, what you're interested in, so that everyone will know what's going on in the church. I do want to lift up one more thing. If you're interested in learning more about Christianity, this church, or United Methodism in general, newcomers class is today at 1 o'clock. Please make sure that you come to that. If you're a member and would like to be a part of that as well, make sure that you know that you're welcome. And it's a lot of great fun whenever members come because they many times know more history than I do about this particular church. So that's great. You ready to have an awesome worship service today? Excellent. What? Lunch Bunch is next week. Do you know what we're having, Carl? Huh? Hamburgers and hot dogs. All right. So make sure that you put that on your calendar as well, Lunch Bunch, right after this service next week. All right, if you're ready to worship, I am too. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship God as Mark plays the prelude for us today.
Will you please rise for our songs of praise?
Today, giving you thanks and praise, and we just ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you hear our praises as we raise our minds, as we raise our spirits, as we raise our hands to you, God, and our voices. We give you thanks and praise, and we simply ask in Jesus' name, that you hear our praises. Holy God, it is such an amazing gift that you give us to be able to gather together and worship you, experience your miracles. And it is a miracle, God, that we are so used to it that we take it for granted. Although we thank you for that gift, God, we ask that you help us continue to raise this gift. Don't ever, to the best of our ability, help us to never take this gift for granted, God. Because we do give you thanks and we do give you praise. Yes, every day of our life we give you praise, but we thank you today that we can gather together as a community of faith, God. Feel safe and secure to praise and worship you, Lord. Holy God, as we come together today, we know you're present. We want to be deliberate in asking you for that presence. In Jesus' name, come strongly upon us, Lord. Wash over us. May all evil and negative thoughts in this building run scared from your presence. May all those dark places in our lives, in our spirits, in our souls, God, may they be lit bright with your light. We give you thanks and praise, God, as we come together to worship you. Help us, God, be with us. Help us remain focused on you this day. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. All right, you got to get those hands going now. Who will ascend? Here we go.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend mountain of the Lord, generation pure and holy. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord?
Sing it out this morning.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend mountain of the Lord, generation pure and holy.
Not bow down to the idols of this world, 'cause my heart belongs to only you. My voice will cry out forever, give you praise.
Here we go.
My King of glory, my King of glory, who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord, generation pure and holy.
Only your blood can wash these stains from my hands. You are the God of my salvation. No one but you ever purify my heart.
Sing it out with me.
I need your mercy. I need your mercy. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord?
Who's going to ascend?
We will ascend to the mountain.
this world. And my heart belongs to only you. My voice will cry out, forever give you praise. What's this?
My King of glory. My King of
sing it out, here we go.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, pure and holy. Generation, pure and holy. Generation,
pure and holy.
Let's give the Lord a hand. God.
Please be seated. Stacy Grifford will be presenting our Kids Corner. Come on down, kids of all ages.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes I do.
Yes I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Amen.
All right, good morning. How are you doing today? Good. All right, now I don't know if all of you were here last time. Do you remember what I did with you last month? We talked about God's love and we did a science experiment where we put the Mentos and the soda and it created a soda fountain. It was so amazing, huh? Okay, well, today we're going to do another experiment, but instead of talking about God's love, today we're going to talk about God being the center or the foundation of our life. So I have a question for you. Who can tell me what makes a tree so strong?
Water,
that's right. Water, and it needs sunshine to grow. What about, what's underground that would help a tree become strong? Okay, the soil, dirt, roots. Yes, the roots make the tree grow strong. The roots are the tree's foundation. So when strong winds come, the tree doesn't blow over. and so in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says that we are God's building. And verse 11 says, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what that basically tells us is that Jesus should be our foundation for our life. And when Jesus is the foundation in our life, it makes us strong, just like the tree. Okay, now, Justin, can you come up real quick?
Oh, good.
I need
that's
his help again.
Last time.
Okay, so what we're going to do now to kind of illustrate this point about Jesus being the foundation and being in control of our lives is I'm going to fill this bag with water. So let me do that real quick.
Trey, that's a good looking tie. Is that a Windsor knot? Okay. All right. So, do you want me to seal this up? You've had water in a bag before?
Under your bed? I bet your mom liked that. She didn't like it.
Do you want me to quiet him down right now before he... Okay.
No, that's good. He's here. Okay.
Censor him.
All right, so what we're going to do now, I have a question for you. Justin is going to poke a pencil through the bag. Now, how many people think the water is going to come out? The whole thing? So, Earl, we might have a mess on our hands.
Job security, Earl. Here you go.
Okay, so let's find out if the water really leaks. All right, Justin,
go ahead
and stick a pencil through there.
Okay, so you want me to stick pencils through here?
All the way through, from one side to the next.
All the way through. Can I get a drum roll?
Wow, look at that. That's pretty amazing. I don't see any water. Well, maybe he got lucky. Let's try it one more time.
I have two pencils. Drum roll.
Whoa, amazing.
No way.
Are you okay?
That water might fall.
All right.
You want me to take the pencils out?
No. Not over. Okay, now Justin's going to hold it up. Now let's talk about this as you look at the bag. Okay, now when Jesus is a foundation for our lives, he's in control. And when he's in control, we know that anything is possible. So it seemed pretty impossible for the bag not to leak water when the pencil was poked through it, right? All of you thought, surely water's going to fall on the floor. But when Jesus is in control of our lives and he's the foundation, even things that seem impossible to us are possible with God. So that's what I want you to remember today, that if you're facing a tough situation or a difficult problem and you just don't know what to do, just remember that if God is with you, if Jesus is the foundation and the center of your life, that even the impossible can be possible with God. All right, thank you, Justin. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and say a prayer together. Lord, we thank you that you are the center and the foundation of our lives. Thank you, God, that you want that first place in our lives, God. And as Pastor Eric talks about you being the foundation for our lives today, Lord, help us to just take the words to heart. God, help us to know that with you in control, even the impossible is possible and that nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. Thank you for these children, God. I pray a special blessing upon their lives, that they would grow up to continue to know you and to walk in your ways all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I know I should have done better at science. How'd they do that? The children are invited to collect change for missions and apportionments during this hymn, which is Hymn of Promise on 707 in our blue hymnal.
Soon be free.
We have several joys and concerns this morning. The ones that I particularly am mindful of were brought out in the Sunday school class this morning. And by the way, I would invite any here who do not attend a Sunday school class to find one that suits you. There's a lot of close fellowship there that you don't find in other large groups. This morning in particular, we talked about a lightning strike down at Bennett Springs that harmed several of our church members, and fortunately they were not apparently seriously harmed. We talked about the events unfolding in Libya and the concerns that all of us expressed about how wide this conflict is going to be. We talked about a lot of uncertainty and danger in this world, and we prayed about them, and I would like to do so again. So if you'll bow your heads in prayer with me, I'd appreciate it. Father, we thank you for the many ways that you interact in our lives, providing miraculous cures, providing safety from harm, providing comfort where there are problems and concerns. There are other concerns and problems that we have not spoken about, but which everyone seated here this morning has in his or her heart. We ask especially that you keep in your care the unfolding events in Libya and in that part of the world, that we may know best how to handle the situation, and that your intervention will help to bring about a just and appropriate resolution to the problems. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been spending the past 2-3 weeks in Corinthians, and we'll be in Corinthians up until Easter. 1 Corinthians, written by, somebody tell me, Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Once you have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would hold your place and everyone stand. And say with me the Bible pledge. This is
my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, Paul writes, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin. All right. Now, I want you to be honest. How many thought we'd have water on the floor? Yeah, yeah. Good job. That was awesome. And good job to you, too. Have to believe. Have to have faith. All right. Well, we are, as Justin said, in the third week of our teaching series, 1 Corinthians, Christians Gone Wild. And although we've yet to get to the really wild portions of this Corinthian church, Justin and I are talking about how the best way to go about that, how we should do that. So that is forthcoming. However, today, well, first of all, a few weeks ago, we talked about how God's wisdom seems strange compared to our wisdom. And even though God's wisdom is true wisdom, we keep reasoning our way out of things or making excuses for our immoral choices and our, decisions that we make, our immoral lifestyles. Last week, we discussed how we are so much stronger when we are united. In other words, if you think about it, when we have many candles together, they are much brighter than when it's just ours all by itself. If you remember Christmas Eve candlelight service, I mean, if we would keep those candles burning, we wouldn't need any light to leave this place at the end of that service, would we? Because it is just so bright, the candle power that we have when all of us are combined together. Well, this week we're going to move into chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, where Paul begins teaching about the church, how it's built, and who the church is. You know, with what has happened in Japan, the 9.0 earthquake and the pre and aftershocks, the tsunami, and now the aftermath with the cleanup and the nuclear plant and all that's taking place there. When I combine that with our scripture for this week, I just couldn't help but think about the architectural aspects of building. I mean, Japanese folks, they are ready for earthquakes. They build their buildings prepared for earthquakes. And it is amazing to me how well some of those buildings held up even under a 9.0 earthquake. Of course, who would have thought the 1-2 punch they were dealt in regards to the earthquake and the tsunami? You know, when Jamie and I built our house, I wanted all of our bedrooms upstairs. I just like everybody close by and such. And I did my best to talk my mother and father-in-law, were the folks building the house, and I did my best to talk them into making the foundation so we could put another bedroom upstairs. Now, we wanted a basement, and so we had that, but I didn't realize until then how expensive it is just to add one more room. That's all I wanted, was one more. Of course, my garage could be a little bigger, but you know, one more room, right? And I learned so much, and I'm sure Jamie did too, when we were building our house. And in this one aspect, the foundation is such an important thing, because the foundation that was drawn up on the plans was to support the house that was planned for that foundation. You understand what I'm saying? And if we changed the house on top at all, we had to be able to change our foundation. And my, how expensive that is. Well, keeping on this idea, another little story here, true story. In 1174, the Italian architect, now forgive me if I say this wrong, but it's Bonanno Pisano. See, Justin says if I do this, it doesn't matter what I really say. I think it is Pisano, though. But anyway, who knows about the first name. But he began work on what would become his most famous project, and some of you may know of this architect. He began working on a separately standing 8-story bell tower for the cathedral of the city of Pisa. The tower was to be 8 stories and 185 feet tall. There was just one little, quote-unquote, problem. Builders quickly discovered that the soil was much softer than they had anticipated, and the foundation was far too shallow for what they were planning for the structure, and it would not adequately hold the structure. And sure enough, before long, the whole structure had begun to tilt, and it continued to tilt until finally the architect and the builders realized nothing could be done to make the Leaning Tower of Pisa straight again. Now listen, it took 176 years to work on this failed building. And during that time, many things were done to try and compensate for the tilt. The foundation was shored up. The upper levels were even built at an angle to try to make the top of the tower look straight. Nothing worked. The tower has stood for over 800 years, but it leans 18 feet away from center, or for you engineers, 10 degrees from vertical. One day, experts say it is going to fall, all because it wasn't built on the right foundation. Well, Jesus told parables about building, which spoke of how we build our lives and who we listen to, that were similar to the words of Paul in today's scripture. Jesus had just finished giving the famous Sermon on the Mount. He wanted his audience to go and do what he had just taught them. And I realized in the early service, that sounds just like the conversation Justin and I had with you a few weeks ago when we preached the sermon together. Remember that? And we were like, how can we help this catch on to you so that you'll walk out of this place and remember past lunch what the sermon was about? Not that we don't have faith in you, mind you. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember what this... No, anyway. But he had just finished giving his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he wanted his audience to go and do what he had just taught them because he wanted to implement God's kingdom of righteousness here on earth. So he tells a story for his conclusion, as pastors often do, right? In this story, of course, there's 3 points. No. In this story, Jesus uses very common images: a house, a rock, and sand. Anybody know the story that I'm talking about? In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, if you would like to go there with me now, I'm going to read what Jesus told the folks he had just got through preaching to. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus said this: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds beat against that house, but it did not collapse because it had been founded on rock. However, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds beat against that house, and it collapsed. It was utterly destroyed." You see, Jesus' message was this, if I could put it in my own words. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, folks. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living, they are foundational words, Jesus said. Words to build a life upon. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like an ill-advised carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You see, Jesus is speaking to the individual. In other words, Jesus is saying, Eric, are you going to do what I say? Mandy, are you going to do what I say? Dick, are you going to do what I say? Caught you, didn't I? Right? Knew it was coming. I'm sure you did. You know, Jesus could put our names in there and says, are you going to do what I say? That's what this building a house on the rock versus building a house on the sand is all about. Eric, are you going to do what I say? If you do, you're like the man who built his house on a rock. And the world sent a bunch of stuff at that house, but it stood strong because you did what I said. Right? Well, see, Paul is referring to the Corinthian church as Jesus referred to a person. Do you hear me? Anytime you hear of you in this scripture, it's plural. For instance, whenever I talk about you, sometimes because I'm from Oklahoma, I say all y'all, right? But that's you. I'm not from Oklahoma. I lived in Oklahoma for a while, right? And it doesn't take long to talk that way, right? That lazy tongue. All y'all, come on over, right? That's the way you talk. It's just easy, right? Well, that's kind of what Paul was saying in this scripture. You is plural, all right? So church members are to build the church on the foundation of who? On the foundation of Christ. There isn't any pre-approved building materials, so there's no excuses not to build, or, you know, not building much because of lack of resources. Anybody ever watch Indiana Jones whenever they were searching for the cup that Jesus drank out of? Remember that? And the bad guy wanted it so he could live forever, right? I don't know. I'm kind of excited to get to heaven. But, you know, he wanted it so he could live forever. Paul is saying you don't have to search for anything special like that. You don't have to search for all these things. God has given what you need, right? God has given everything that you need. And what Paul is inferring is that our life of faith is not a quest of the right material with which to build. Instead, the life of faith is each of us building the church with the material that is already available to us. You see, each of us is called to place the Spirit-provided gifts, that charismata, in service to the common good. Now, you've heard of this before. You've heard of people say, man, isn't she charismatic? Right? Have you heard of that? Or, man, he's got a lot of charisma, doesn't he? Well, that's what this is. It's a Spirit-provided gift. Charismata is the word. Spirit-provided gift. So our building and our using the Spirit's gifts are our responsibility to put what we have and what we are into service of God at all times. So when we look at the church, are we to keep those gifts to ourselves? Ourselves? Huh? I don't think you're very sure there. When we think of our church, when we think of the church, you understand the difference? Our church and the church? You understand the difference between our church and the church? All right. Our church is you and me. The church is all of us all around the world who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? You out there this morning? Am I boring you to death this morning? Oh. So, here's the deal. Seriously now. And I believe this with all my heart. Whenever you are baptized into the church and you become a member of a church, I believe God gives you that Spirit-provided gift. God gives you a gift to use in that setting. Now, there's other gifts too, but I'm saying God gives you a gift that that local church needs. And in our case, it's right here, right? And so what happens if my kidney decides to shut down? Am I going to notice that? So do you think whenever one of us decides, hey, you know what, my gift isn't worth anything, I'm not going to use it, do you think the church notices that? Absolutely, yes. So, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, sometimes, oh, Eric, I'm going to be very silly here, and I know it's hard for you to imagine. All right. You know what, Eric, my gift is underwater basket weaving, and I just don't really think the church could use that. Eric, my gift is XYZ. I don't have another example. And I just really don't see how the church can use that. Tell me something. Who gave me the gift? So who are you? Who am I to say that that gift isn't needed? Really? And so when we choose not to use the very gift that's given to us by God, you can almost say that's a sin, couldn't you, really? But whenever we don't use the very gift that God gave to us in the church, it causes a community that becomes sick, right? And if enough people choose not to use the gift that God has given them freely, right? It even makes the sickness bigger in the church, doesn't it? In a way, and many of you, this touches at home. In many ways, it's kind of like a growing cancer in the body. You know, the Apostle Paul uses the body to explain the church, right? All of us have different gifts, right? What would the body be without the foot or the eye, right? Think of and Paul's trying to be funny. And I can understand some of Paul's humor, which probably is kind of sad. I don't know. What would it be like if we were all an eye, Paul says? Where would the hearing be? I mean, he's trying to be funny. Can you imagine the whole church being an eye? Here's looking at you, right? No, I mean, it's so, you know, on one hand, who are we to say that our gifts are not needed in the church, right? And so when we choose not to give those gifts, Paul is saying, we are holding back the ministries of the church because each of us is called to place the Spirit-provided gifts, charismata, in service to the what? And who is the common good? The church, right? Locally, this church. Worldwide, the church, right? So our building and our using the Spirit's gifts are our responsibility to put what we have and what we are into service of God at all times. Paul talks about rewards here. He kind of shifts gears on us. And I want to read this for you. It's what Justin already read. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to begin at verse 12. Now listen close to this. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, all right, so what's the foundation? The foundation is, there you go. All right, thank you. So the foundation is Christ. Anything else, the building's going to fall or lean like the Tower of Pisa, right? So Paul says, you know what? We have created a foundation here in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our foundation. Don't be messing with the foundation. Eric, don't try to be put on a new room, right? This foundation is how it is, right? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible for the day. What in the world is the day? Huh? Judgment Day. That's right. You see, you have to understand, when you read Paul, he understands that Jesus might come in his next step. He believes that Jesus is going to come right now. Yes, he does, you beautiful boy. Excuse me, handsome boy. Right? Paul believes, seriously, that Jesus is coming. The day, the judgment day, is here and now. It is upon us. That's why he said, hey, you know what? If you don't have that longing, that lust for a woman, don't marry. Why is that? That's not saying priests shouldn't be married. What that's saying is, because Jesus is coming. It's a waste of time to get married. Because Jesus might be coming today, or tomorrow, or the next day. We don't know, but it's soon. Right? All right, so see, that's why he says stuff like that. You have to understand, when you read Paul's letters, he believes Jesus is on his way, man. It is not going to be long. Okay? So, he says, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation, which, what is the foundation again? Christ. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Some Bibles say the builder will be saved, but only just barely. Now, you know what? If we read that, it sounds like that's kind of like you're saved through works, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Isn't that what it sounds like? But see, we have to understand something else. The Apostle Paul, he is writing to a church. And so what is the assumption if you're writing to a church? That everyone has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, maybe, right? So the assumption in writing this letter is that everybody in that church has already given their life to Jesus Christ. There's no issue about their salvation. They've already given their life to Jesus Christ. They are already working. The Lord is the leader of their life. And so he is not worried about talking to just the general public here. He's talking to the church. But yet still, even though it's not about our salvation, he says the builder will receive a reward if what he builds survives. Now we know that the foundation is... We know the foundation is Christ. What do you think the materials are that we should use to build with? Each of us is called to place the Spirit-provided gifts in service to the common good. So when we use the gifts that we've been given through Jesus Christ, those Spirit-provided gifts, and we build on the foundation which the church is built on, the foundation is... Right? We receive a reward. But if we choose to put our own stuff on that foundation and it gets burned up, what happens? We will suffer loss. Who knows what that is, right? The builder will be saved, but only barely, just barely, or only as through fire. All right. This is where, have you ever heard the refiner's fire? No one's ever heard of the refiner's fire? If you've listened to Steve Green, I love his song called The Refiner's Fire. It's awesome. I used to sing it. I can't remember it now, but this is what it's talking about. Anytime you hear about a refiner's fire, this is the scripture that they're talking about. Now remember, our understanding of salvation is by faith and not by works. I don't want you leaving here saying, oh, Eric's preaching a salvation of works, right? Well, I'm not. But I am preaching what the Bible says. And Paul says that our salvation doesn't necessarily have anything to do with that, but yet we will be judged by how we use the gifts that God gives us. We will be judged by that. Paul's understanding is that only the one who is right with God... Whoops, I didn't put that in there. Paul's understanding is that only the one who is right with God can, by the assurance of God's own grace, do works that will be viewed favorably by God on that last day. So, in other words, people who aren't in the favor of God, it's not even going to be looked at, right? Only those who are in God's favor, God's own grace. And that's where our motivation is gratitude. We have to understand, Paul is speaking out of this. Our motivation is gratitude. Our motivation is thankfulness and glorification of God. When we glorify God because we are so grateful what God has done for us. It's like I said earlier in the prayer. Have you ever thought of how much we assume that we can just gather and worship God on Sunday morning? That we're safe? That I can stand up here and baptize people? And not worry about some people coming in and invading the place because I'm baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that not being a possibility? That we aren't safe? I mean, we are so blessed that we can assume that all this will be free for us. That all this will be a gift. Our motivation has to be gratitude, thankfulness, and the fact that we want to glorify God. These must remain the prime impulse for all that we do. According to Paul, we should recognize that rewards and wages can function as an encouragement for us and others to stay on track. So, it's always God's grace, that free, unmerited gift, which is at the heart of the life of faith and inspires all that we ever do, which motivates whatever building we construct on the foundation that is Christ. So one more time, grace leads to and prompts work, which in turn are recognized in God with favor. That's why Paul can exhort to the Philippians and to us. Listen, remember, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if we stop there, what does that sound like? Paul tells them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that sound like? Sometimes people stop there, but you know what? The sentence continues. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So what foundation are we building our lives and the church upon? What are the materials that we are used to build the church? Yeah, people. But the gifts that God gives the people, right? The God-given gifts. And what is the word that I use that means that Spirit-gifted? Charismata. Yeah, charismata. What will stand is a combination of Christ being the foundation and God's gifts to us being the materials we use. All I have to say this morning after reading this is let's get to work. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you so very much for Paul. Thank you for the Apostle Paul that, you know, Lord, helped us keep our lives straight. Thank you for the churches that Paul wrote to that tripped up every once in a while, God, so that Paul had to write to them so that we could read his words, which in turn are yours. Holy God, as we worship you today and as we continue to work as a church, I ask that you bother us, God. I ask that you make us uncomfortable so that we will stand up and do your work in this community. If we're not using a gift that you have provided, God, help us know what that is and make us uncomfortable when we don't use it, God. Bless us. Encourage this church to move into any place in this community that you are blessing. In Jesus' holy name, amen. For our song of invitation today, it will be A Charge to Keep I Have. It's number 413 in your hymnals. If you will stand with me. Now, this is a good old Wesleyan hymn. So this is what we use at conference a lot when a lot of preachers get together. So I hope you enjoy it. Please stand if you're able. 413. Seated. Will the Smith family come forward at this time? Tell you what, this church is blessed in so many ways. It is just amazing. I feel honored and blessed to be here and what God is doing in this church. And Kevin and Jenny and their family is going to come forward. And we're going to... They have chosen... This is great, guys. Jenny is going to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior today. Kevin was baptized many moons ago, and he is going to dedicate his life today, rededicate his life to Jesus Christ, and accept Christ again into his life here today because of what God is doing through this church and through their family. And of course, we're going to baptize two beautiful kids today, and it is just a blessing. So let us begin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is a moment in the Christian community when we recognize and celebrate the grace of God living in each of us. Thank you, sir. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Baptism is a belonging of God claiming us as His own. It is a beginning of a lifelong journey. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Kevin, Jenny, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? According to the grace given to you, Kevin and Jenny, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Church family, would you please stand? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Jesus Christ in common faith and purpose. Jenny, would you please kneel here? Here you go. You might want to lean forward just a little bit. Jenny Lynn Smith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, Jenny, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, buddy. Give me five. Sit up tall, bud. There you go. What name is given this wonderful boy? Atreyu William Smith. I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let me get you a towel. There you go, buddy. You're awesome. Hey there. What name is given this child?
Ariana Winona
May Smith. Ariana Winona May Smith. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ariana, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the Holy Spirit, you may be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Beautiful. Here you go, Daddy.
Yeah. Well, we need to hear her scream a little bit.
You go, girl.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we can't forget that. All right, now, Kevin and Jenny, we just have a couple more things here, okay? As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? The membership covenant that you signed states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship, and I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it? Church congregation, would you please stand and turn and face your new family, who you've already been a part of, right? Members of the household of God, I also entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as worshipers together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw. We celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and look forward to our journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom, you may live in grace and peace. Let us pray. Savior, giver, and keeper of all life, once again, you have taken the substance of earth into your hands, fashioned it in your likeness, and given it the breath of life. We give you thanks for the birth and the life of each of these baptized today. As we celebrate their baptism, we marvel at the spiritual journey they will take with you, a journey filled with faith in the midst of mystery, hope in the midst of life's challenges, and love calling them to serve. Guide them as they grow in faith. Let your peaceful assurance rest upon their family. Gently remind them of your strong presence and sure guidance. Help this church community be a good and Christ-like influence in their life, so that Kevin and Jenny will grow even stronger in their faith, and so that these kids may come to know you personally and trust you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, but I got to carry all these kids down the aisle here. You know, that's something I get to do, yeah. All right, here you go, buddy. Hey, I know you're big enough to walk, but looky here.
We I want to remind you that according to one religious tradition, a child who cries at baptism is a candidate for the choir sooner or later.
Now, look at this handsome music boy that is a part of your congregation. Yeah.
Our special music will be presented by Ted Gatliff.
I'm going to take it personally if she starts crying.
Got to get the lump out of my throat.
Lucky here.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer can still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe.
We will continue our worship with our offerings and tithes while the bell choir plays "It Is Well With My Soul."
sing song is number 145, Morning Has Broken. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Thank you so much for being here today. Our hope is that you felt God's powerful presence in your life, whether it be through a song, a word, a prayer, a baptism, or being here with the members of your church family. And so as you go from this place, I pray that you first of all understand, and you know what's coming, that you are a child of God, and that you are. And as you go out from this place, I pray that God bothers you to use the gifts that you've been given. I pray that he makes you just a little uncomfortable so that you will expand his kingdom with the gifts that you've been given on this earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you. Amen.